And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into the studio Nate Wallace, city manager for the city of Palmer. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back.
You found your way here through the fog.
Oh, yes. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, so just a quick summary. I've lived in Palmer for a long time, and I can remember fog in the past occasionally. This has been a very interesting time. It's persisted for a number of days. How has fog affected the city?
Well, the moisture in the air goes to the ground, and it's making the road slick, so folks need to be careful out there. We've sanded the intersections as they become iced over and as they've been identified as being slick, but that's really the biggest thing is the moisture freezing in the early morning hours and then not coming up, not thawing really until the sun actually hits it, even though the temperatures rise or ice is staying down until it's actually directly in the sun. So it's a different challenge, but not unlike other challenges we have in the winter.
And I've noticed, I had the pleasure of driving to Anchorage yesterday, and I noticed that there could be some fog here. There could be sun just a short distance to the south. I've had people report going up the road toward Glacier View, clear skies, and so on. People who have been up at Hatcher Pass skiing have said, oh, yeah, the sun's shining here. It's beautiful blue skies. We're looking down at the top of the fog, which hung over Palmer.
Right. Yeah, I was up at Government Peak the other day for a conference, and it was slick going up, and as soon as you hit the Wasilla Fish Hook turnoff, it became sunny.
Yeah.
And when you're up there at the chalet looking out the windows, it's just a bed right over the valley.
Right, right. So we're just reminded that I think it's a metaphor that we can take, that sometimes what's happening here isn't what's happening everywhere else in the world. Make that. However, there is one other thing, and I'm happy to clap and congratulate and say that after some darkness, after a period of darkness, I'm not sure, about a week or so, the lights are on.
Yes.
The lights I'm talking about are the beautiful lights that make a huge difference along Fireweed and a couple of other streets around there.
It was a square from Cottonwood to Fireweed and then from Valley to, I think, all the way to Glacana. Running off One Load Center, and we don't have the newest and the latest and greatest, although we do have the latest streetlight heads, the infrastructure behind it. It's aging. So blew a breaker and checked with other municipalities to see if anybody had the similar system. We had to lower it from a lower 48 to and wait for that, even with the overnight shipping for something that big. It took us about a week to get the part in.
Is this a,
and it's a part?
How big is it?
About as big as a shoebox. But it's not a common piece at this point in time. So
for those listeners who may not understand the intricacies of an electrical system, people might have thought that there are wires that carry power that go to a lamppost and LED fires. But you're saying it's more complicated than that.
No, it's similar to your house. You've got a breaker box in your house, but the breakers that we have in streetlights aren't the kinds you can go to Home Depot and purchase.
Okay. And so there's a breaker that controls the power going to a series of these lamps.
Streetlights, right.
Yeah. Makes that happen.
And there's smaller breakers in between. It just so happened the bigger breaker. Combination of systems that feed into one, so the main circuit breaker for that section of town, rather than just a small one for a block, the one that is it cascades up in a pyramid type system, the one closer to the top went out.
Okay.
Well, it didn't have anything to do with the work that's going on. There was some concern that the fiber optic work that MTA is doing may have caused something. It was unrelated.
Okay, so that is what is happening, because I've noticed walking around a bit myself that there were people out there digging and putting dirt back over. And so this is fiber optic by MTA.
Yes, it's my understanding that the bulk of it, there may be other work that's ongoing, but the city isn't doing any digging at this time, but MTA is laying a lot of fiber in town.
Okay, and I know they've done this in the past Is your understanding that this means that much of the city will have fiber to customers, whether you're corporate or individual?
I think the intent in the end is that all the broadband that MTA has is fiber. So it's just a matter of the cost effectiveness to each upgrade. So taking it to your house is probably the end result, but I don't know that they're going to do that in the next year or two.
Okay.
You can go to their website, I'm sure, and see their
plan.
Their plan.
Okay. Okay. But this could mean a difference. Does the city have fiber to its facilities right now?
We have it. We've had it to the city hall for a little bit, and then some of our outline facilities just happen to be in the way, in the path of some of the primary upgrades.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I know of some sort of remote places that happen to be along the way where fiber was put, and lo and behold, they years ago obtained this high-speed ability to use the system while most people had nothing.
Yes. Nothing like it's that. There's a fiber line that goes from here to Glen Allen. MTA and the copper co-op are connected. And if you happen to live close to that main line, then you may be getting fiber quicker than somebody that lives in an urban area. So
right. I know some people up that line that have were happily able to connect in and make that happen. So once again, it's a question of location for much of what we do.
Oh, yeah.
And Palmer sits here in a kind of an interesting location on the road to elsewhere and one way or the other. So we've in the past talked about things. I know right now we're in November, and as I understand, I'm reminded that is the December 9th the goal for having a budget approved by the council and finished and done, et cetera. Is that
the first meeting in December is the by code they're supposed to have we are supposed to have a budget that's approved or adopted. So I believe it's December 12th.
Okay, somewhere in that first half of December. Well, okay.
Yeah. So the first piece is I have to present the budget. The second piece is the council has to approve it. So that's the we they. It's our budget, but I propose it, and then they get to adjust it as the policymakers of the city see fit.
So those people who have been listening into the meetings or attending the meetings know that you have. Come down from where you usually sit, and you sit in front there, and there's some meetings that are called committees of the whole, which is a kind of a relaxed opportunity for people to have a discussion, ask questions, go back and forth.
Yes.
And how much longer will you be doing that?
Hopefully years.
No, I mean this year. Yeah, I understand.
No, we'll do that. That'll the committee of the whole, we have special sessions, and almost every Tuesday from now until December 12th.
Okay.
The 14th, there isn't one. And then there should be one every Tuesday after that.
Okay. And this allows for focus on different elements, portions of the budget as they, the council considers all of this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, some cities have a budget committee that's made up of citizens, council members, and staff that do this, go through this process. And then at the end, it's when it actually comes to this council assembly, it's a one or two meeting situation, but in this case, this is kind of the budget committee, really.
Okay,
it's a long, drawn out process. Not to say that's bad. But that's how we do it here. It gives the council, every council member, an opportunity to put their fingers on the budget. So when December comes, we can say it's our budget because we've all participated in it.
Right, right. And do you see at this point? I know we've talked about this in general terms in the past. You see this budget as being pretty much in line with what has happened in the past, both income and expense wise.
Yes, it's not a significant change from previous years. We're projecting that revenue is starting to flatten out, and I think we're seeing that this year. We projected an increase because of Fred Meyer's, but not much of an increase anywhere else.
Okay,
so pretty much I don't want to call it status quo compared to past years, but it really is. We're still providing the same services that we've provided in the past. Some of our budget in the past, a lot of its expenditures dependent on weather. So we have a heavy snow year, we spend more in that area. If we have a light snow year, then we save money there. So it's, we account for that, but it's not a zero-based budget either, where we start from scratch every year. We look at the where we've spent in the past, what we think is coming up, and then go for there to maintain. I think with revenue, the way it's looking now with the state and the economy, we may have to tighten our belts quite a bit more in the next couple of years, but we have a reserve, trying to maintain that reserve. We're not dipping into it this year. Mm-hmm. At least at this point, we're not proposing to. So,
okay. And I know that there's been a recent report or two, particularly by Neil Fried and others who study these kinds of things more broadly. And the suggestion is that the Mad Valley is doing particularly well in comparison to other parts of the state in terms of things like employment, growth, et cetera. There's been actually a slight decrease in jobs and population in Anchorage, and that kind of thing would suggest that Palmer, as part of the valley, is one of those attractive places.
Yes, and again, the valley has a different type of economy than Anchorage does. Our infrastructure is not as compact, and there isn't as much. So the cost of government is relatively lower than it would be, say, in Anchorage or maybe in Fairbanks, just because of what we look like. Now, Palmer, we're pretty compact, and we have a lot of infrastructure compared to the rest of the valley, as does Wasilla, the core areas that are urban, so to speak. So it's because we are compact like that, there's mm-hmm. there's folks that migrate to smaller areas that are lower cost. That's my opinion. I think that's why the valley's growing. The cost of living compared to Anchorage is a little lower. Mm-hmm. Some okay. things are higher, but in general, I think it's lower out here. That's why some of the migration comes this way. I'd be curious to see what the commute looks like. Is the commute number getting bigger, or is it relatively the same? I mean, I've looked at some of the numbers from the state website on stats that show some of the migration from borough to borough, and we get a lot of migration in, but we do have about the same amount of migration going towards Anchorage. So it's not a complete switch right. from right. Anchorage out here. There are still people that are migrating closer to the larger city. So.
Right, right, right. The Alaska State Fair, are the numbers in for what impact that had on the economy?
Yeah, well, the State Fair announced their numbers, and attendance looked like it was lower. For us, it was about the same as last year, actually. Some areas were higher, some were lower. It looked like that the entertainment side, rides and things like that, had gone down a little bit, but
okay.
Food and things like that looked like they'd been about the same. And then actually the clothing and where you purchase goods looked to be up a little bit. So, but overall for the city and sales tax, it was about the same.
Okay.
Just some different areas within the overall collection looked to be a little different, but for us, it wasn't as low as compared to the number of people there. They're still spending about the same amount of money.
Okay. Well, here's a topic. Plastic bags. What's going to happen here in Palmer? Is there discussion? Is it something happening on a meeting agenda soon? Or
no, not. There's nothing on the agenda. The council has they've discussed it just in general. We'll kind of we're going to wait and see what the rest of the borough does.
Okay.
Wasilla banned the bags.
Right.
We haven't heard much discussion outside the action they took from the retailers and the folks that it'll affect that have the bags. So we'll see what the public has to say, I guess, when the tax starts to take effect. The borough still has a vote on coming up.
So they banned it, so there's no tax involved.
Right.
So it's just
you got to figure out how to get your groceries from the store to your car and your car to the house.
I'm betting on the ingenuity of the Alaskan to figure out how to do that. But as had been suggested, the entrepreneurial spirit of those who will be selling logoed bags. If you happen to be in a Boy Scout, Girl Scout, you name it, organization that would like to make a little money, is to also advertise what they do.
Sure.
But in any case, yeah.
And there's some large retailers, Fred Meyer's and Car Safeway. They're not individual stores. So what happens in one part of the valley may affect the other. So that's the other piece is.
So the two largest retailers, I think I'm safe in saying this, are the Cars and Fred Meyer stores here.
Mm-hmm.
And if they should go along with what's done in.
They may follow. I mean, whatever their corporate decisions, maybe they may decide not to have bags at all in the valley.
So if that's the case, then the Palmer City Council, or for that matter, the Borough Assembly, is left with proportionally very little to do. I mean, there's still other stores and so on, but the vast volume would be coming from those two, I would think.
Well, at Walmart, yep.
Yeah, okay. And Walmart is outside of the city of Wasilla.
I think it's inside.
You think it's just inside?
I think it's inside.
Yeah, because the line runs somewhere right around there. Yeah, okay. So that would, okay. Well,
if you just look at the number of just the sales tax and who's paying sales tax in the valley, it's Wasilla and Palmer.
Right.
And then when you compare Palmer and Wasilla to the number of big stores, it's Wasilla. So Target is another big one. Sportsman's Warehouse, another big one. They're all within Wasilla, so those stores will no longer be providing bags. So when you look at the grand scheme of the whole valley, sure, Palmer has a little piece. Palmer probably equates to the rest of the valley if you think of all the numbers. So they've effectively probably reduced half the plastic bags just through that action.
Make action. Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see how that finally plays out.
Or they drive customers here that want plastic bags and...
I've come across those people with their wild-eyed looks and saying, I need a bag, a plastic bag. I haven't had, okay. So what is left here? We finished up the work pretty much on the airport runway. Is there something that will be happening in the spring to finish it, or is that just done?
The main runway is done. The 10-28 was part of that project. So it's been renumbered, but part of the grand scheme of the overall project, the $7 million project, was to reseal 10-28. The weather got up to us. The temperatures got too low to apply the seal coat that was required, and there's a special testing piece of equipment that wasn't available. So that will be delayed until next spring. So the project is substantially complete for the main runway, and then they've demobilized for the winter for 10-28. So it's still safe to use. It's been renumbered. The safety zones are all done, but there will be some more work next year on the crosswind runway.
Okay.
And then potentially additional, we're pursuing additional federal grants for additional crack sealing and taxiway maintenance for next year. So that may get added on if the...
And then I noticed at the west end of the crosswind runway, the trail that runs along the fence there has been nicely graveled.
Yes.
Walked on it. And now that the temperatures have dropped, it's really pretty solid. And there are two piles of mixed gravel dirt stuff at each end to sort of prevent people from just driving over it.
We don't want cars on it. ATVs aren't, and snow machines aren't allowed in the city, but every now and then...
Someone does.
Those things show up, so it's to at least to keep that path as bicycle strollers and walkers.
Well, I just think it's going to be a well-used piece. I've noticed we use it ourselves. It's a nice cut on over through there, and it looks like it should have even more use. The question, of course, comes, are you going to do anything like clear it or plow it? Or because in the old days when it was just this trail wandering through, it would become rutted a little bit and filled with some water or ice and become treacherous. But now it's a smooth highway.
It's on our list of paths. It's a lower priority because it is gravel and not paved.
Sure.
So the more we plow it, the more we tear it up. So as depending on the snowfall and how much comes down at any particular time, we'll try and keep it open as much as we can.
Okay. Well, so that leaves us with, of course, any word on the big gray building along the highway, formerly known as Fred Meyer's?
No, nothing formal. I think there's still folks that are interested in trying to do something with that, but I haven't heard anything official or that anybody's put an offer in on it. They've got a local real estate agent now,
right,
the last couple of months that's involved in helping the market to get that either leased or sold. So it's being controlled now to some degree in the state as opposed to out of their corporate offices in Oregon. So
that's good.
I think that may have some.
That sounds good. Are we looking at anything through the winter before spring hits that people should be aware of that will change their lives? For example, I noticed some heavy equipment that in what seemed to be a blink of an eye removed a hotel that used to be a motel that used to be along the highway across from the fairgrounds there. So some of that cleansing in preparation for the highway construction has begun.
Cleansing might be a good term for that particular building. The the state project for expanding the Glen Highway is expected to start next spring.
Okay.
So again, it's a state project, and if you drive the road, you'll see the different buildings that have been boarded up. Some of those have been used by public safety, mostly the Alaska State Troopers, for training, for inside breaches, door breaches, things like that, different training opportunities.
Oh.
The hotel that was on that corner there was used by several different organizations, to include our fire department, but it had some infestation.
Oh,
because it sat dormant
for a long time. Yes,
so it was to the point where as much training was done that could be done. So the state made the determination that I needed to go first, because that looks like to be the first one that goes down. But construction is supposed to start on this side at the Arctic and Glen Highway intersection, and then work its way towards the fairgrounds next year. So,
and I also noticed the beginning of the construction of the wall.
The wall, the Jensky wall,
the Jensky wall. I'm pretty amazed at how tall the wall and as it's. I'm sure forming the north end of eventually a building. But as it stood there, I looked at it and I said, "Well, no one's going to be able to get over that wall to get into the hotel."
No,
they could go around it, I suppose.
But. Yes. Well, it's a small lot, and it gives them the opportunity to expand their operation. And part of that, it looks like, and I didn't look at the details of the drawing, but my understanding is the bays will be big enough to handle RVs.
Oh, well, okay.
And because of the size of the lot, some of the offices will have to go above that area. So that's
makes sense.
I think it's going to be a fantastic building when it's done, and a new service that we haven't really seen in Palmer. To work on RVs inside.
Right.
So I think it'll be a great facility when it's all said and done, and it's just looks odd now because it's a big wall. But that, again, I think in the end, it's going to be a fantastic addition to the city.
Okay, very good. Well, I've asked a lot of questions. Nate Wallace here, city manager of the city of Palmer. Any last comments? We're a little bit away from Colony Christmas, another month or so, but anything else you'd like to remind?
Planning is ongoing for that. I attended a meeting with the chamber yesterday, and it's, again, looking to be a great event this coming year. We had our first snow already. It's gone. You wouldn't notice if you just came back today, but just a reminder, when the snow does come and it hits more than 2 inches, then keep your cars off the road so we get the plows down.
Oh, yes.
When we can't, we have to plow around cars, that leaves just that residue that continues to build and build, and then by the middle of winter, we've got a mess that's hard to deal with. So if you're parking on the streets now and the snow's coming in, please get your cars off the road.
Okay. We can do that. Make that happen. Well, thank you again, Nate Wallace, city manager, city of Palmer, for coming into the studio today for another version of our Inside the City. I hope you have a good day there. The fog is creeping in a little bit more, but I think it's safe out there still.
I think so.
All right.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.